From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our reporter roundtable. And today we're going to be talking about stories making news in the Galesburg and Macomb area. That's a little later on. But first, Springfield. We are joined now by Sean Crawford, managing editor at WUIS NPR Illinois. Sean, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian.
Let's start off with a story out of the University of Illinois, Springfield. There's a union for faculty there, and one specifically for non-tenure track faculty, and they have authorized a strike. Say more about that.
Well, this is a relatively new union. They only were recognized about a year ago and have been negotiating, trying to get their first contract for about a year. But things have not gone well with the university system. They've gone to a mediator that was brought in the fall. Still have not been able to come to an agreement. So recently, just in the last few weeks, the members, there's about 40 or so of them on the UIS campus, voted to authorize a strike. That does not mean, of course, that a strike will occur. It's just another step in this process to give notification. There are some of the key issues here are things like workload, job security, and again, these are non-tenured professors who are doing this teaching, so they're very concerned about that. We'll see what happens. Negotiations are still ongoing, but right now that's where things stand.
And still pretty tight fiscal times at the University of Illinois, Springfield, I gather.
Yes, very much so. It's, a lot of the problem with UIS has been enrollment. Enrollment was doing quite well about 10 years ago, but saw a gradual drop off. And then really during the pandemic, that era again hurt this campus, much smaller of the three campuses in the U of I system. They are hopeful to see a turnaround on enrollment. Just talking about that this week, that they hope to see that come fall. But budget issues, there is a deficit they've been running, and they're trying to get that under control. They also have, speaking of unions, two other unions on this campus, one involving service workers, custodians, food service, things like that. And then the other one being, of course, the tenure faculty. And both of those contracts come up, they will expire this August. So a lot of things still to be worked out. The campus is also offering a voluntary separation, also known as a buyout offer for some employees. And we're not sure yet how many of people are going to take that, but it just ended that period to apply for that. So again, a lot of moving parts here on the UIS campus.
Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about the fork in the road at the national level, but apparently it's come for Illinois. Well, speaking of national politics, actually, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show with our Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon, but I know we can talk a little bit about this federal funding fallout. It's being felt across the country, including in Springfield. What can you tell us about that?
Well, what you're seeing in Springfield is, of course, it's a state government. It's a company town. State government is the company, and a lot of state workers here. But many of those workers are paid for through federal funds, and a lot of federal money comes through the state government. It's sort of a pass-through. State agencies will take that money and then distribute it in various ways. A lot of people whose jobs are paid for by federal funds, and there's a lot of concern out there in this market right here that whether or not, if those funds do go away, we're still unclear of what's happening with the Trump administration and the federal government, but if that happens, it could impact state government in ways that maybe people were not expecting. So we're still unclear. We don't really have numbers on that at this point, but I know that's on a lot of people's minds.
No, it's a great point. From public health to criminal justice grants to, I would guess, education, billions of dollars comes from the feds there that could roll downhill. Well, speaking of education, this is a little more of a local story, but the Springfield Public Schools are looking for sign language teachers. What's the story there?
Well, this is something I should have been more aware of, but really wasn't, and that is that sign language, American Sign Language, is now being considered as a world language, being almost a foreign language, basically. You know how you would take German or French or Spanish in high school and get credits for a foreign language? Well, now American Sign Language is also being credited that way. In fact, I looked up at the college level, and it is the fourth most studied foreign language at colleges and universities. So the Springfield School District, 186, is looking to hire some sign language teachers who can add to their foreign language offerings, this one being for American Sign Language. And of course, this will also count for college credits for a lot of these people who take these students who take these classes. So just a change that has come here in recent years. And it seems to be something that's happening across the country.
That's fascinating. So it's not necessarily, as I first thought when I saw the headline here, that it was like, sort of an accommodation for students who have that need, almost like you'd say bilingual back in the day. This is just for students who may have, you know, what we would call normal hearing, but want to learn this as an additional language.
Right. And like I said, it just is something that is being added to that curriculum that I was just not aware of that either. I thought that maybe that it was being done, something that was being done mostly here in this district. But this seems to be happening in a lot of school districts across not only Illinois, but across the U.S.
It's the 21st show. We are in the midst of our local news roundup, and we are beginning this week in Springfield with Sean Crawford, who's managing editor at our partner station, NPR Illinois, WUIS in Springfield. And Sean, obviously, Abraham Lincoln is a big deal in Springfield. I don't need to tell you that. And one of the more notable sites having to do with Lincoln is not actually in Springfield, but about 45 minutes northwest of town, and that is Lincoln's New Salem. It's a recreation of the village where he first lived and started making a life for himself as a young man. But in recent years, it's, I don't know if you'd say it's fallen on hard times. I'll let you characterize that. It's at least in need of revitalization. There's some legislation out there. What can you say about that?
Yeah, and I think that I would say, Brian, this is probably similar to a lot of historic sites around the state could use some funding. This one is a pretty big one. A lot of school kids take trips. Maybe some of the listeners have done that, come to Springfield and gone out to New Salem. There's, as you mentioned, like log cabins and different stores that are recreated from when Lincoln lived there in the 1830s. It's sort of like where Lincoln grew up. But it has fallen on some difficult times, and there's a lot of activists who really have helped with this through the years. They work there and want to see things get a little bit better. So there's some legislation right now that has been proposed. Would do a couple of things. It would create the New Salem Preservation Commission. It would have 13 members, and that commission would develop plans for addressing repairs and improvements. But, of course, without money, that is going to be a lot harder to do. So another piece of legislation in this package would appropriate $5 million in state money for site work there on at New Salem to repair some of these sites, maybe add some attractions, and also just make other improvements. So we'll see where things go. It's a tight time for state government to be adding money, but New Salem is very popular and does bring in a lot of visitors, so it is something that I think a lot of folks would like to see happen.
Yeah, there used to be a lodge there too, right, if I remember correctly. I don't think I ever got to eat there. I did go on a tour of it when they were trying to get some other, I don't know, like restaurateurs interested in it, and it already had, you know, broken glass. I was told there was a snake living in the building at one point. I don't know if you ever had the chance to go up there when it was still open.
I when I first got here, it was still open. I don't remember eating there necessarily, but I do remember going out there and seeing it. And, you know, for people that don't know much about it, it's sort of like where Lincoln grew up. He was, like you said, a young man. He tried some different professions. Some he was more successful in than others. But it really is where he got his start in Illinois, and really a lot of his story is written through New Salem. So it is an important location, an important state historic site.
Sean Crawford, managing editor at WUIS, NPR, Illinois. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
It's the 21st show. If you're just joining us, we're in the midst of our weekly reporter roundtable. And joining us now is Jane Carlson, regional reporter for WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. Jane, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about a ruling from the United States Supreme Court about a conviction of a man who is a Galesburg native. What happened there?
So Richard Glossop has been on death row in Oklahoma for more than 25 years. And last month, the U.S. Supreme Court threw out his murder conviction because the admission of false testimony violated his constitutional rights. This is a murder for hire scheme. from 1997. And Glossop was found guilty of paying a man to murder a motel owner. But decades after the conviction, the state disclosed previously withheld evidence from Glossop's trial. And that is what led the Supreme Court to overturn the conviction and the death penalty.
It's interesting. Does he still have, do we know if he still has like connections to Galesburg? Does
he came from a really big family, and there are still family members here. Huh. The family had moved to Oklahoma prior to 1997.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, moving on to a different story. There is a project for a new jail in Warren County, but it's been put on hold. What's happening there?
Well, first of all, Warren County has a century-old jail that county officials believe will be shut down if they don't build a new one. They can't properly segregate men from women, and there's other issues. It's very structurally deficient. So sales tax increase wasn't approved. They've approved a bond issue, but now there's a lot of public concern about the bidding process and that local contractors were not given the opportunity to bid on this, you know, $16 to $18 million project.
And so So are they reopening the bidding then, or what happens next in this process?
It's officially on hold. And in fact, there's some meetings coming up where they're going to talk with the contractor and see if they can get it straightened out. They're also considering hiring a construction or contract law lawyer to see if they can get out of it, to be honest.
Oh, it's interesting. When you say the jail is deficient, is that like the state would shut them down, or they just... Do we know what would happen or where people are being housed in the interim?
They're currently housing some people in a neighboring county jail. But yes, the Illinois Department of Corrections does inspections, and there are issues with this jail. It's unsafe and structurally deficient. Like I said, it's in a building that's a century old. So it is time for the community to build a new jail. But there's just some hiccups in the road here.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that develops. All right, well, let's move on to some local government news. And this is about public transportation, which I think people often associate with bigger cities, be it obviously Chicago, but Springfield, Champaign-Urbana, Peoria. But Knox County and the city of Galesburg are looking to extend public transportation in the area. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the city of Galesburg recently completed a transit study that kind of looked at the public transportation system and also looked at the city's capacity to extend transit service into Knox County. So into, you know, communities like Abingdon and Knoxville. And currently the project is in a survey stage where they're kind of asking people who do provide transportation from rural communities to Galesburg, which is the largest community in Knox County, how this would work, the need for it. And it's really at the beginning stages of developing a rural transit system here.
Interesting. So someday you might be able to take a bus from one of these communities, but that could be a way off, it sounds like.
Yes, this is just the very beginning of studying the need for it.
Okay. Well, the last thing I want to ask you about, this is a time when there are mayoral elections in a number of cities, other local government elections, not statewide. Different cities are on different schedules, but some of them are holding mayoral elections this spring, including Galesburg. What can you tell us about the candidates there?
Well, Mayor Peter Schwartzman, who is a professor of environmental studies at Knox College, is seeking a second term. But it's a rematch of sorts because one of the candidates that Schwartzman beat in the last consolidated election is trying to regain the seat. John Pritchard, who is the owner of Galesburg Broadcasting Company, a local media outlet, is challenging Mr. Schwartzman, and he served two terms from 2013 to 2021. So it's a rematch of sorts.
And I understand there's also a campaign or a race, I should say, going on in Monmouth. What's happening there?
Yes, Monmouth's longest serving mayor is seeking a sixth term, Rod Davies, and he's being challenged by a longtime Warren County board member, Sean Cavanaugh.
Interesting. Well, we will wait and see what happens in those races. Jane Carlson is a regional reporter with WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. Jane, thanks for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st Show.
Good to be here.
All right. We are going to take a break on the program. When we come back, we will turn to national politics and talk with Linda Kenyon, our national reporter. We're also going to hear from a reporter from Chicago about Mayor Brandon Johnson's testimony before a House committee about sanctuary cities. That happened this week. That's coming up after the break. Before we go to break, I do want to mention that you can find a podcast of this show wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. And NPR's website, if you subscribe through them. You can also now find us on YouTube, and you can do that by searching for Illinois Public Media. Again, go to YouTube and just search for Illinois Public Media. If you appreciate the show, I would urge you to sign up for the podcast. It's a great way to keep in touch with what we do when you can't always catch up with us on the air. All right, we are going to take a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.